Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, think about your blessings. Think about all the things that God has given to you. Some of those blessings are for now, some are forever. The for now blessings would include, for example, our cars, our money, and things like that. The forever blessings would include God's gift of forgiveness, his peace that passeth all understanding, and things like that. So thinking about the two categories, for now and forever, which category is more important to you? Now you know what God wants you to answer, but which one really, truly is more important to you? And then here's the more difficult question. How does your answer show in your life? How does your answer show in your life? So sure, you're here today. So you're saying spiritual things are important. But what about tomorrow and the next day? And day by day as you go through the week, are there a lot of spiritual things going on there? Are you doing things with the Bible? Do you have a list of people that you're concerned about that do not yet know Jesus Christ, and you're praying for them, and you're figuring out how to get something into their hands that will show them the truth of God and that God can bring them to saving faith in Jesus Christ? Or is Sunday morning kind of it for the spiritual part of your life, for the forever part of your weekly life? These are things that God wants us to think about today, and he wants us to see how when it comes to all of the temporal things, our Father in heaven says, hey, I'll provide them. Don't worry about it. Don't give it a second thought. And then he's saying, now that you don't have to worry about that stuff anymore, now you can focus more on my word. Now you can focus more on my son. Now you can focus more on people who need to know my word and my son. That's what we're going to focus on today as we come to Luke chapter 12, picking up in verse 22. I invite you to follow along as we have the outline there in the service folder. With each part of the outline, I have the word think. And most of these are very simple and logical and practical, and I hope you can see it right away. I'll share a couple words to try to help you understand it better. But we'll go through a number of them like that. Then we have a big challenge that Jesus makes to us at the end. Point number one, think about the source of life, food, body, and clothes. The Bible says, and Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For the life is more than the food, and the body more than the clothing. So when it comes to life itself, we know that it's come from God as a gift to us. When it comes to our physical bodies, we know they have come from God. They are a gift to us. So if God would give life itself and the body, certainly we can count on him to provide the food we need for our life to eat and the clothes we need to cover our bodies. So God is saying to us, I've given you the greater, so certainly I will give you the lesser. Now, if God had given us the lesser, we might wonder, will he give us the greater? But because he's given us the greater, we know that he will give us the lesser. So God is saying, understand it that way. Don't be anxious about your food or your clothes. Don't give it a second thought. Point two, think about God's provision for the birds. Jesus said, consider the ravens. I looked up ravens, and I always kind of wondered with the Baltimore Ravens. We're not too big fans of Baltimore. I thought a raven, what kind of a bird is that to pick for your team? But actually, I was surprised to learn that ravens are among the smartest of all birds. And I thought they were kind of a smaller bird, but according to what I found, they have a wingspan of almost 4 feet. So they're a pretty substantial bird, at least a full-size raven. Anyway, forget about that. We don't want to think too much about the ravens here. But Jesus said, though, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn. And yet, God feeds them. Oh, how much more value are you than the birds? Literally in the Greek there, it doesn't say how much more value are you, but it says how much more you differ, how much more you are different than the ravens. So we have some similarities. God made the ravens on day 5 of creation. God made the people on day 6 of creation. So we are similar in that way. But keep in mind, though, with creation, with day 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and even part of day 6, that was getting everything ready so that when he finally made the people, we are the high point. We are the pinnacle of God's creation. We are the most important part of God's creation. He wants us to know that. So if he provides for the ravens, who aren't really that important, how much more is he going to provide for us who are his holy children through his son, Jesus Christ? Knowing that, when it comes to anxiety, forget about it. God's going to provide. We can know that for certain. And then part 3. Think how anxiety has no power for good. We live today in a world that is busy, that is stressful. People are anxious. Is that helping anyone to be busy and stressful and anxious? I don't think so. It's not going to extend anyone's life. In fact, it's going to shorten a life, if anything. Let's look at this more carefully, though. Jesus said, "Now, which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life?" That's not exactly what the Greek is saying, but we're used to that translation. Really what it says, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single cubit to his stature?" So really Jesus is not talking about someone lengthening how long he lives, but it's talking about someone making himself taller, is really what it says literally in the Greek there. Now, can we lengthen how long we live? Maybe to some degree, if we would eat real healthy and we would exercise real diligently, maybe we could live a little bit longer. But has anyone figured out how to make yourself a cubit taller? A cubit is about 18 inches. It's from the end of the fingers to the elbow. We can't make ourselves taller, so in a sense what Jesus is saying, it's impossible for anxiety to make you grow taller, so understand that anxiety can do nothing good, so don't be anxious. It's not good for us, don't be anxious. So what is the substitute for anxiety? Trusting in our Father in heaven, trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then part 4, think about the beauty of lilies. Jesus said, consider the lilies. Now, consider would mean to think about the lilies. Literally, he says, observe the lilies. In other words, look at the lilies, really is what he's saying. Look at the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. We could say they neither work nor move. Yet I tell you, Jesus said, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So for the lilies, they stand there, they do nothing, and yet they are so beautiful. Because God does that for them, and they are so insignificant, how much more is he going to clothe us according to our needs? Again, because we are his holy children through the finished work of Jesus Christ and the relationship we have with Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. So again, anxiety is excluded. Part 5, think about your Father in heaven, and know that he will provide. Jesus said, picking up in verse 29, "And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, thus food and clothing, and your Father knows that you need them, but you seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added to you." So Jesus wants us to see a distinction here between people who are of the world and people who are of God. So those who are of the world, what are they busy with all the time? They're busy with making sure they have enough food and enough clothes and a shelter and all this other stuff, all this other temporary stuff. They're very busy with all that stuff. But Jesus is saying to us who know the Father in heaven and know him as our Savior, he's saying, don't get busy with that stuff. God the Father will give you whatever you need, but rather focus on me. Focus on the Word. Focus on eternal things. And all the other stuff you need, it will be provided. Think about it like this. The average unbeliever, now average unbeliever, maybe not all of them, but the average unbeliever, I think he's living with constant concern, constant worry about things like this. He's thinking, how will I pay for what I have bought? How can I get even more of the stuff I want? And what will happen if I lose my job? These are concerns that the unbeliever has. The one who believes in Jesus, he knows that God will provide whatever he needs, so his focus is on knowing God. His focus is on knowing the Word of God better. His focus is on honoring his Lord Jesus Christ by trying to live out whatever the Bible says. And he knows that with the food, the clothing, and the shelter, oh, I don't have to give that a second thought. God's going to provide whatever I need. I can focus on all this important stuff over here. That's how he wants us to go through life as his holy children. Part 6. Now we come to the final part. And Jesus is basically saying, because you know this, now I challenge you to do this. So first of all, he says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, we have many people around the world who are working and working and working to get into the kingdom of God, to go to heaven. And unfortunately, there are even many who call themselves Christians who are trying to work hard to get into the kingdom of heaven. But anyone who's working to get into the kingdom of heaven, they will never achieve heaven. And if they keep going down that path, they will achieve something, and that will be eternal punishment. Because heaven is not something that we can earn, and any time we try to earn it, that means we are pushing away Jesus Christ. We never want to push him away, but rather we know we can't earn it, we know we don't deserve it, and by grace through faith, we receive the gift of Jesus, and along with Jesus, we have the promise of heaven. So it is a gift that God gives to us. So in Jesus Christ, we have the gift of heaven. God is our Father in heaven. He knows our needs. He provides us with our food, clothing, and shelter, so we have what we need here. We know that heaven is open for us whenever we die. So in Jesus Christ, we have it all. Years ago in my life, I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, but from the time I was approximately 20 until I was approximately 30, I took this attitude. So that was a time in my life when I went to church almost every week, and I went to Bible class almost every week, but I didn't pay much attention, apparently. But I did go, though. I did go to a Lutheran church, a Missouri Synod Lutheran church. But during those 10 years, though, I basically looked at it like this, and I said, God, I know you're important, but I've got some other stuff going on in my life. I need to get my job in order. I need to get my home fixed up. So I'm going to take you, God. I'm going to put you on the back burner of the stove. I'm going to kind of forget about you a little bit. I'll think about you a little bit on Sundays. But for the most part, though, I got to focus on my stuff. I got to get my stuff done. I got a whole list of things to do. And once I get my life all in order and my stuff all done, then I'll come and get you again and put you in a more prominent place in my life. How do you think that worked out for me? Not good at all. So I tried and tried my way, and it just did not work out. That was very much a wasted 10 years of my life. So finally, though, at the end of those 10 years, when God got a hold of me and God showed me that it wasn't my goodness that could get me into heaven, that my ideas were not as good as his ideas, and all kinds of important things that changed my whole life. It changed my life to the point where finally I was able to let go of all this striving for the stuff that I wanted that was all temporary and be able to say, oh, God, you're going to provide all that stuff for me? I don't have to be busy with all of that anymore. Now I can focus more on your word. Now I can focus on knowing your will. Now I can step out in faith and follow whatever that is. And it changed my life completely. So God wants us to know that even though that makes sense sometimes and people think that that's the way to go, I'm here to tell you it does not work. And this book will tell you even better than I can, that does not work. It is not a good idea. So going back then to verse 32, Jesus is saying, we have salvation. We have all that we need for this life. So knowing that truth, here's the challenge that Jesus has. Picking up in verse 33, he said, sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. As Christians who live in America, we kind of want to have our cake and eat it too. And actually, in many cases, we kind of can, in a sense. But there is a danger, though, in trying to have our cake and eat it too. And I'll explain that here in just a moment. But let me ask you a couple important questions first. So question number one, what is your treasure? What is your treasure? Would it be the temporal possessions of food and clothes, things like that? Or would it be the eternal possessions of the Bible, faith in Jesus Christ, things like that? So you kind of want to say yes and yes, don't you? But if you had to pick one or the other, which would it be? Is it temporal or is it eternal? And then, how about this one? Who owns your heart? Is it the God of this world who is the devil? Or is it the God, the great God, who loved you so much that he sent his son and his son lived for you and then he died this kind of a death on the cross for you? So which God owns your heart? Which one is controlling your life? Those who are dominated by the God of this world, they tend to go through life being worried about their earthly stuff, and they also tend to go through life hoping that somehow with what they say and what they do that they'll get into heaven. May none of us be in that category. Let's not be anxious about what we need for this life. Our Father in heaven will provide. Let's never try to earn our way into heaven. Let us know that we have the gift of heaven through Jesus Christ. So those who know Jesus, they are confident in such things, and they can live in peace about their stuff. They can live in peace about heaven. It's a wonderful way to go through life day by day. So Jesus' challenge, he wants us to know that we have whatever we need. God will provide it. So he's challenging us to trust in him, in other words, to follow what he says by taking the stuff that we have and giving it to the needy. It's a little bit difficult to know how far to go with that, but let me tell you this, so that the more we get rid of, the more we will be closer to and trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that should encourage us to get rid of more and more, because that's going to draw us closer and closer to Jesus. Think about this quote by Dr. Kretzmann. This is one of the benefits of getting rid of our stuff. He wrote, "Then their hearts will be torn loose from all earthly considerations and will be fixed all the more easily and firmly on eternal riches." So again, the more that we're connected to the earthly stuff, the less we will be connected to our Lord Jesus Christ. But the more we get rid of the earthly stuff, the more we will be connected to Jesus. And actually, on the last day of our lives, are we going to care what kind of a home we live in, what kind of car we drive, what kind of clothes we're wearing? We're not. All we're going to care about is our relationship with the Savior of the world, with our Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't know how much more time we have. So let's focus on him now and the next day all the way to the end. And let's be generous with what we have, and God will bless us, and God will provide even more. Many people will tell the story that the more they give stuff away, the more God gives them. I know my life has been like that. Before I went to seminary, I was thinking about the home we lived in, and it was my grandparents' home. They had the home built for them. Kathy and I did all this work on the home for 9 years and thought we would live there the rest of our lives. And when it came to going to seminary, it was like, dear God, I don't really want to move. I want to stay here and live in this home. And it was such utter foolishness, because actually the home we live in now is a far nicer home than that home. But God wants us to know that when we let go of the stuff we have, he will not only provide what we need, but he can provide even more, even better than what we have and what we need. He wants us to step out in faith and see how much he will bless us. Let me conclude with this thought. So Jesus noted these benefits right at the end of the reading. He wants us to have a treasure that does not grow old like a computer. You know how quickly they become old. He wants us to have a treasure that does not fail like an old appliance. After a while, they just quit working. He does not want us to have a treasure that can be stolen like a car. Instead, he wants us to have treasures that are important now, that are valuable now, and will be valuable forever and ever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you have made us your very own through your Son, Jesus Christ, and you provide us with all that we need, and even much more. We thank you so much. Now, move us by your Spirit to take Jesus' challenge by dispersing what we have to those in need and treasuring the things that last forever. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.